So we've been in a sermon series on the parables of Jesus from Matthew chapter 13, and this is the third week of it, and I'd originally picked a longer scripture reading. I was going to try to cover like four parables, but I thought with the baptism and everything else that we got going on, one is plenty. So I'm going to start in verse 44. If you could skip one slide, there we go. Listen and hear this word of God. The kingdom of heaven is like treasures hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one, a pearl of great value, he went and he sold all that he had and bought it. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Will you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for this day, praying that you would give us the wisdom to pursue the treasure that you show us, and that on finding it, Lord, we would not count the cost, but know that it is more than worth it. If indeed what we find is you. So speak to us, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen. Did you hear the one about a woman pursuing her lifelong dream? She wanted to make a splash in the Manhattan business scene, and so she took up side work wherever she could get it. And one of the jobs that she picked up was cleaning up a house. This guy hired her, and his grandmother had recently passed away, and he said, go over here, I'll give you some money, clean up Granny's house. And while she was there cleaning, it turned out that there was something strange in Granny's basement. The woman left, and she sold everything that she had. She gave up on that Manhattan business scene, and she bought that old house. Her friends couldn't figure out what was going on. Well, for such as those belongs the kingdom of God. That's my modern retelling of the parable of the pearl of great price and the treasure in the field. Jesus's, of course, is better. The kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure in a field. Someone found it, they hid it, and in their joy they go and sell everything and buy the field. Notice that in both of these parables, people are doing something they think they ought to be doing. The woman's pursuing her dream, doing whatever it takes to get there. The man's working someone else's field. You only work somebody else's field as a means to a greater end. But notice this, that once they discover the treasure, once they discover the kingdom, they quit pursuing whatever they were pursuing before, and they stake it all on the kingdom of God. That once they found it, it costs them everything. But it's more than worth it. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, is like a man who's out plowing and his plow hits something in the dirt. He bends down and he scoops the dirt away. And there he finds this buried treasure. He very quickly covers up the treasure, runs to the banker, sells everything. Then he goes to the landowner and he says, hey, how much you want for that rocky, worthless, no good piece of land that I was plowing the other day? Call me crazy, but I want to buy it. Jesus says the kingdom of God belongs to people like that. Now, some of you, because you are so very good, are concerned about the business ethics behind this parable. I mean, it's business like this that led to the last recession, lending without full disclosure of risk. Isn't the man who runs out and buys the field at least under some ethical obligation to full disclosure, simple honesty, a little transparency? Well, such petty bourgeois moral concerns don't seem to interest Jesus. Go for the gold, Jesus says. Risk, connive, buy the field, get the treasure. He already told us this in the Sermon on the Mount. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness. Last year I read John Steinbeck's book, East of Eden. The book begins by describing the beauty and the wild of the American West. He draws you in, makes you want to pack up everything and go explore. Steinbeck says that there's something in the DNA of us Americans that makes us different than any other people. We come from the sort of people who would pack up everything and brave an ocean, sail across the seas. We come from a people who would just throw caution into the wind, get in a wagon, and head west. That's the sort of people us Americans are, Steinbeck says. We're a risky bunch, adventurous. And just when he's got you ready to just pack it all up and go on a big adventure, then Steinbeck says, well, then the businessmen came, and then the preachers, and then the lawyers. And after the businessmen, and after the preachers, and after the lawyers, well, the adventurers were tamed. No more grabbing for the treasure. In fact, the treasure just got all used up. That's what businessmen and preachers and lawyers do if we're not careful. We find a way to use up all the treasure, to get rid of the adventure. This should be our first clue that what we've been taught to seek is not the kingdom of God, that it's a fake. But preachers didn't used to be like that, did they? Do you remember Matthew, the guy that Jesus called at the beginning of the Gospels? Matthew was a tax collector. He had a cushy desk job, right? And Jesus says to him, Matthew, follow me. And Matthew flips over the tax booth and goes and he follows Jesus. You see, Jesus is that hidden treasure that when you find it, it's worth everything you've got. I remember when Jesus first called me to follow. It was just after I got out of the Marine Corps, and I was on the phone with an Army recruiter. And he said, Wilson, I have in front of me a re-enlistment package. $40,000 signing bonus, a contract for Special Forces, and we'll bump you up in rank. I said, yeah, that sounds good. Let me call you back. And while I was pondering it, I looked and I had a voice message. And I checked my voicemail, and it was from this wild-eyed Brazilian evangelist named Rick Bonfim. And he said, Brian, God wants you to come to Brazil with me for a month. So I called the recruiter and I said, thanks, but no thanks. I went and I served as a missionary in Brazil for a month. And then I took over two little Methodist churches with a combined annual salary of $8,000. Actually, that's a lie. It was $5,000 and the conference threw an extra $3,000 to cover my gas. At the height of the recession, we decided that Jesus wanted us to feed people without a job. And so the problem was we didn't have any money. And only six people went to our church. We did it anyway. We got a grill. I begged money from wealthier churches. And me, one college intern, and five little old ladies, the youngest being 75, fed every single person that drove down the Tennessee River in Clifton, Tennessee, every Tuesday and every Thursday all summer long. And when we got done and there was leftovers, I pulled the Toyota into the projects and I honked the horn and the kids came pouring out and they finished all the leftovers. Now, that young pastor married a teacher in training who dreams of starting a school, and we got married without a house or even enough money to pay rent, and the adventure continued. But something happened. People told me how gifted I was. I started making A's and people told me how smart I was. I liked their approval. I got money, I got insurance, I got a graduate fellowship, Latin honors, got a pension. Now, nobody ever asked me to, and nobody expected this of me. But I quit being that young preacher that left a career and $40,000 on the table to serve Jesus. I quit grabbing after the treasure. And I missed that young preacher. I'm haunted by what someone told me about careerism and preachers, and what is true for us preachers is true for you too, that even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. Yeah. He was telling the truth. That there is this resentless, virtually irresistible tendency in life to turn adventure into tame predictability. One day you're this angry young thing ready to go out into the world and grab it by the tail and twist. And the next day you're this old guy slouched in an easy chair complaining about how the kids are ruining the world. One day you're a kid and you're excited about leaving home, abandoning your parents, going to college or somewhere where you can think and you can drink the way you want to. And then the next day, you're just another college student. You're going through the motions, trying to accumulate enough hours to graduate. Well, Jesus says that the kingdom of God belongs to those with the guts to stake it all on the treasure, all on Him, and that it's worth the risk. And so today I wonder, not simply would I be willing to risk everything for the treasure that's hidden in the field, but I wonder if we would even be able to know the treasure worth risking for if we saw it. If Jesus said to me today, hey, here's the treasure, Brian, follow me, go get it. I might say, is there insurance, Lord? What about a pension? Are there seat belts, Jesus? Our spouses never asked us to do this. Our children never asked us to do this. Neither did our friends or our churches. But somewhere along the way, we lost the adventure. Life is short, church. If there's anything worse than not reaching your goals, it is setting your goals so low that you reach those low goals. You see, we can get life. We can get life, but adventure, a treasure, a life worth living, God help us. We settle out too quickly. We settle down for too little. We make money the most important thing in the world, and thereby we miss the treasure. We make security a good in and of itself, and then maybe we become safe. Maybe we do. But we don't become brave. We don't become faithful. And Jesus walks along the road one day talking to people about discipleship, explaining to them the cost of following Him. Jesus says if you follow Him, that they would be rejected by their own family members. Everybody would turn against them. There might be jail time, beatings, or worse. He tells them there's no way to follow Him without taking up a cross. That following Jesus puts you at odds with the powers that be. And guess what? Some, not 9 out of 10 average Americans, mind you, but enough to keep the administration nervous. Some dropped everything they were doing. They deserted their parents. They let the fishing business go down the drain. They flipped the tables at the accounting firm and they followed Jesus. The kingdom of God does that to people who stumble upon it, Jesus says. There's a renowned storyteller and preacher, Fred Craddock. He died a few years ago, and just down the road in North Georgia, they made a Fred Craddock School of Preaching. And so Fred tells this story, and he swears it's true, so I believe him. He went up to Connecticut to visit a former student. And after the dinner was over, the dad said, look, I got to put the kids to bed. He left Fred in there with the family pet. It was a greyhound dog. Great dog, that greyhound, said the dad. We brought him up from Florida. And Fred's sitting in there petting the greyhound, and the greyhound looks up and says, this your first time to Connecticut, Fred? Fred says, no, I used to go to school here years ago. And the dog said, well, I came up here from Miami. Fred said, yeah, they told me you retired. The dog said, is that what they told you? I didn't retire. I spent 10 years of my life, 7 days a week, racing the fastest animals around a track, chasing a rabbit. 10 years. He said, one day I was faster than usual. And I got up real close on that rabbit, and I got a real good look at him. That rabbit was a fake. I'd been chasing a fake rabbit for 10 years. He said, "Fred, I didn't retire. I quit." Friends, so much of what we have been taught to pursue is a fake. Jesus gives us parables about the kingdom of God and about the kingdom of the world. One of these two is the real deal. One is a fake. God help us if we're chasing the fake. Grab the treasure, church. There was a time when we understood that. Us Christians knew that faith in Christ demanded the best we had, the best we could be. We knew that it would cost something. But we also got to know that because it is that Jesus calls us, that it's worth everything. Grab the treasure. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who know the real treasure from the fake. And they got the guts to stake it all on the kingdom, to stake it all on Jesus. Amen.